B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We'll take your phone calls all morning. Obviously, all of you were very frustrated about what happened last evening. And it was truly about officiating last night. I mean, it's... Don't let anyone tell you it's not. It was about officiating.
Two hits to the head. A hold on Torrey Krug that lasted 4 seconds mid-ice that almost resulted in a goal if it wasn't for David Krejci just doing a balls-out play and getting right in front of that puck. And then, of course, the Achari one, which even the St. Louis Dispatch put what a trip
well
on the front page.
The St. Louis Post-Dispatch is not a bad newspaper, especially their sports section. And their one of their big columnists compared it to the 1985 World Series where Dykeliger, or whatever the hell his name is, missed the call that in game six in the ninth inning.
The official NHL.
Dankinger.
Thank you. I've erased
I understand
name
why from, you're blocking.
I was just full of 10-year-old tears when
I
that
got
happened.
It.
Well, the official NHL Twitter account likes to tweet out, you know, big goals from the games. Well, they tweeted out that second goal from St. Louis, and it starts immediately the second after Achari's already on his feet. There's no reference, obviously, to anything that happened right before it that led to the goal.
I like Deadspin, and usually their slant on anti-Boston sports I find amusing, but their article they wrote about the game is really bothering me today.
What's the angle?
Okay, the St. Louis Blues won Thursday in Boston, blah, 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 blah. The lasting image of the home finale will be trash raining down on the ice as furious Bruins fans express their displeasure. Before we get to the controversy, we should take a moment to appreciate the first St. Louis goal because it featured an incredibly slick between the legs assist from Zach Sanford.
So I thought that was a great goal.
Yeah, it was a great play.
It was. And we should note the brilliance of Blues goalie Jordan Binghamton, who stopped 38 shots. And then just the idea that they said, remember these things before we get to the terribleness. It just bothered me for some reason.
And again, it's easy for anything to bother me this morning after that.
I usually think the anti-Boston, and that's been, I think it's very funny, especially McGarry, when they're anti-Boston, I think it's very funny, but I'm not in the mood today. Today, I'm not in the mood. I'm usually all for a nice ribbon to the city, but today, not the case. All right. So, young Nicholas, who got to meet Saug as his own adult film star, Tyler Fade, and is now under a great deal of pressure as Rich will retire to the studio to see if that comes up with something. I have faith that it does, Nicholas, based on what you told me. Here is him out in front of the Garden last night.
I've tweeted at Touch and Rich like 10 to 15 times, and I've said, can you send me the Mark Tremelli Christmas song?
I know they're busy.
And we're off.
I'm telling you. Once again, nothing Nick hates more than when people mention his father.
If you like this theme, you got to cut the next audio. Because that apparently is a theme throughout.
Okay.
It's a song and a half.
Yeah, I'm his son.
How are the recliners doing?
They're good. They're good. They're
How
good.
Do you like working for Fred Toucher?
Well, first off, let's talk about the game.
All right, fair enough.
All right, can we use this for the radio?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me about the refs tonight.
They're complete ass wipers. It's almost like they have the Blues in their pocket tonight because some of the calls tonight were jokes.
Complete buzzer juice.
What's buzzer juice?
Complete buzzer juice. Honestly, dude, I'm a Bees fan. I listen to you and Fred and Rich every morning and Wad with the big teeth. Dude, we're out here screaming.
I don't think a lot of people want to cheer right now.
That's what I'm saying. You see the type of fan nowadays lost their Grundlegirth. They're all sad. They all got wives and girlfriends and history teachers to go home to. It's a joke.
Wives, girlfriends, and history teachers that they married.
Could you imagine having to go home to a girlfriend? And I could see going home to a wife because that could be miserable. But going home to a girlfriend. I mean, that's a situation that you owe nothing financially if it ends.
They're complete ass wipers.
They're ass wipers.
Buzzard juice.
And buzzard juice. Yeah, Nick, why don't you ask a question about what it's like to work for Fred?
You wanted to get down to business. Oh, Nick has no problem with me. He holds no resentment towards me after the way I treated him the first time around.
Did they say that they had a lost Grundle girdle?
Type of fan nowadays lost their Grundle girdle.
They lost their Grundle girdle?
I don't know. That guy's, like, tired drunk. It's kind of hard to understand him.
I think everyone's just, like, pissed.
Like, when I get drunk on a Friday, that's how I sound. Like, super tired drunk. Like, I'm not even as drunk as I sound.
Yeah.
Because I'm just exhausted. Like, people go, like, let's go out to dinner on a Friday. I go, okay, good. You just want to stare at me while I, like, while I slur and just look at you?
While I weave and bob?
No, I can stand. But just my desire to speak goes out the window. All right, here we go. We continue.
This is really Nate Cervelli?
Yeah.
All right. I think you're f***ing me right now. But
no, okay. I'm not f***ing with you. Can we use this for the radio?
Yes.
All right, talk to me about tonight's game.
There's the second goal should have f***ing counted. There should have been a penalty. There's no way that should have f***ing counted.
You're a f***ing...
He should have gotten a penalty! Go, Baylor!
Is it okay to use this for the radio? Yeah.
Sports talk. What do you want? Ty Anderson? No, I'm not Ty.
Wow.
Ty
Anderson.
Status is moving up. Up, 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 up.
Ty Anderson now outshining Nick Jamelli. Ty Anderson, who buys women's jeans. We found out on the other day.
Do you think that Nick took that as a compliment or an insult?
Well, Ty Anderson is, if you like... very loud tattoos. Someone that maybe maybe he's younger than Nick, so maybe he takes a shine to that.
Could be. He's rock royalty, related to rock royalty, a.k.a. Gary Cherone of Extreme.
Which is what gives him all that hardcore credit. He got the huge straight edge tattoo, which is going to be nice when he starts drinking eventually when he has children. till you have kids. It's all fine and good. You ain't drinking now. You get a couple kids in there and they start screaming when you're trying to take a dump.
I can't breathe. Milo put me in a box.
All right. I wasn't going to drink tonight, but it looks like it's on. Looks like that's happening. I can't sleep. Okay. I'm going to make myself sleep.
What do you want? Ty Anderson? No, I'm not Ty.
That was good.
I don't know if I should be...
No, you should be upset.
I should be upset? Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right, talk to me about St. Louis.
St. Louis, dude. Come on. By the way, tell Toucher, John Hamm is more of a celebrity than Jenna Fisher.
How about Chara?
Thank you.
Well, he is drunk.
Yeah, he's Mad Men fan. I defy anyone to watch Mad Men and not start drinking. I don't care what time of day you're doing it.
I saw Krasinski at the game. Was he in the 900 section? Was he in the
ninth floor?
Yeah, was he in the ninth floor? Yeah, 900. The ninth floor, yeah. Officially, way the hell up there.
Krasinski, a Newton famed alumni. He grew up right around where I live.
Proud graduate of Brown University, I'm told.
Yeah, very intelligent individual. I tell you, I had a creative writing teacher in high school who had Al Jean, one of the creators of The Simpsons. And every time you gave her a creative writing project, she would just immediately dismiss it and say how genius Al Jean was. As if she had anything to do with Al Jean.
She made him.
And you know what we called Al Jean's younger brother? Marty Farty. An odd man. Marty Farty. Kind of came out on the... It was a twin situation.
Toucher. John Hamm is more of a celebrity than Jenna Fisher.
How about Chara?
Chara being out on the ice was the best thing that ever happened to me.
If you could say anything to the boss of Bruins, what would it be?
Meatballs.
Mark Jamelli.
Oh.
You got to cut up that other audio.
Right. I will.
Yeah, because it's... I think it pissed Nick off pretty good.
Yeah, Nick, okay. While this might be a little painful for you, you ultimately are going to win in your battle for the audio later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All right. Bob Beers is going to join us. He, a man who has played the game, a man who, is a tough hockey guy. We'll get his opinion on the officiating because, you know, you could think of tough hockey guys going, you know, you got to play through that kind of crap. But... it will be interesting to see in this egregious an instance, as this egregious an instance as it was last evening, his thoughts on that. So we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bob Beers is the not only the color analyst for the big old Boston Bruins radio network, flagship station 98.5 the Sports Hub. He is also a veteran of the NHL, prior defenseman, and avid golfer, a man who is constantly tan.
I was going to say tan master.
He is Bob Beers. He joins us on the Volkswagen Expert Hotline, a Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Bob Beers.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
I appreciate you joining us. Okay, now, you played the game. You know how this goes, and you know what it's like in the playoffs. What is your feelings of the game as you look back on it this morning?
My feelings, I hate blaming somebody other than your own self when you lose a game. I think that that's kind of an easy way out, but it's just impossible to overlook yesterday. I don't know if the Bruins score on a power play, but instead of it being 1-0 with the Bruins having a power play and 10 minutes to go, they end up, you know, down 2-0 and having a guy end up down in concussion protocol. It wasn't just that call. There were others. I mean, there were others that were missed in that game that were just, I mean, I think Bruce Cassidy's word was egregious, and you could say that for a number of missed calls last night. And, you know, it was after Craig Berube came out after game 3 and called out the refereeing. And since then, it's changed. It really has. I mean, it's just and the stuff that needs to be called isn't being called. It's inexcusable. It's really inexcusable. And it's not stuff away from the puck.
It's right in front of everybody.
With the puck.
It's where everyone's attention is focused. Now, Bob, do you believe Berube just saying something about the officiating has gotten these guys' heads that much? Do you think that that's the major deal here?
Well, it's an unbelievable coincidence, isn't it?
I believe you, and it all is an unbelievable coincidence. But how mentally weak are these officials?
How bad is what does that say about them? Exactly. I'm an emotional kind of, probably less so than Bruce Cassidy was last night, but still, I can't understand how. There's certain things that you don't see or you refuse to see. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how that works. I'm not a referee. I know that these guys, that things are happening quick out there. I get it. I understand that. As a player, sometimes there's stuff that you can't, you hit a guy the wrong way, and it's just because it's happening so fast, there's no way around it. But for referees, things are happening quickly. I get it. I understand all that. But these are plays that are happening right by the play. I mean, the Achari thing is just the most bizarre thing that I watched it 100 times and I'm saying, okay, what does the referee think he saw there that doesn't merit a penalty? You know what I mean? And there's nothing. There's nothing I can come up with that says, maybe Carlo pushed him in there, or maybe. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't understand how that's not called. So I'm having a tough time wrapping my head around it.
Bob, the Bruins' response is pretty good. They got back into the game and had a big flurry at the end, and that's something I guess you can build on. But if you're the Bruins, how do you respond in Game 6 on Sunday? I mean, you have 2 or 3 days to sit on this. you can't go above and beyond and try and take illegal shots like the Blues have, because in a game six with the wrong officiating crew, you wind up in the box and you give the opponent power plays that you don't want. So how do you channel that frustration? What will the Bruins wind up doing here in game six?
Yeah, you can't. No, you can't. I mean, this is about winning a game, and it's just about winning one game. And actually, you know, ironically, you take a chapter out of the St. Louis Blues book and what they were able to do after a blatant hand pass in their last series against the San Jose Sharks. And that put San Jose, it was in an overtime game, might have been a double overtime if I'm not mistaken. And San Jose went up in that series 2-1, and St. Louis just, they parked it, you know, they put it behind them. And they went on and won the next three games. So, you know, I mean, sometimes it can make you stronger. That's what the Bruins have to kind of rely on. You know, once they get their frustrations out, okay. And if you watch the Blues after that game, they were coming unhinged. I mean, they were, you know, slamming sticks against the glass, yelling at the referees, chasing them off the ice. And, you know, to their credit, you know, right after the game, you know, Craig Berube said, look, you know, we're on to the next game. We're not worrying about it. We can't worry about it. And he had all the players believing and saying the right things. So that's the direction they have to go now. You know, it's, you know, they're going to have 2 days to talk about it. They're going to be asked about it. And it's just, it's got to be, look, we're in this thing to win a game on Sunday and bring it back home for game seven. They played a good first period. They played well in parts of that game. It was a good game. It got tight in the second period, I thought, a lot in terms of, you know, the way St. Louis wanted to play, especially after they got the lead 1-0. But the Bruins had some good looks on Binnington, and I thought he was good at times in that game. I also thought he got fortunate on a few occasions as well. So they've got to, you know, they got to have their best game in game six. That's all there is to it. And, you know, and just bring it back home. I mean, that's it. Just win one game. Don't get caught up in the moment. We're going to win two games. Just win one game, and, you know, we'll see what happens in game seven.
Bob, we asked you this a couple of rounds ago after that scrimmage. Do you think Brad Marchand is playing hurt?
We'll find out in a couple of days. I don't know. I really don't. I watched him come back in that scrimmage and play the latter half of the scrimmage, and he looked just fine. So if he is hurt, and I'll say it again, guys, you can get hurt at any time in practices. I just use my own experience. I mean, I almost lost an eye in a practice. So it's whether you think it was the right thing to do or not, you have to, you don't blame that. I mean, that's not the case. And like I said, you can get hurt in practice, you can get hurt in a game, you can get hurt any time. So just because they scrimmaged, and if that was the case, if something did happen to him there, there's not a whole lot you can do in that situation.
All right, how'd you almost lose an eye?
Got hit with a puck in practice. So my point is, it's just a regular practice.
No, you know, no, I understand. I understand.
No, we want to know the story.
Yeah, I want to know, like,
who took the shot? Where were you on the ice?
Like, did you really, like, they were talking about, like, you might lose your eye?
You wind up in the hospital?
I guess I'm a little, well, I missed the first 20 games of the season because of it. It was, we were coming off of a lockout year. It was back in mid-90s, and we were practicing the power play, and the guy was trying to ice the puck, actually. I was trying to keep the puck in, and it went straight up, and, you know, much like Char got hit in the jaw, right? I got hit square in the eye. So, yeah, in the hospital, a surgery, broken holes right side of my face, and I missed the first 20 games of the season because of it.
But you remain handsome, though. So that's
I appreciate that, guys. Yeah, I appreciate that. I got the face for radio, right?
That's, well, listen. Okay, so something that I need expert analysis on is that, you know what St. Louis wants to do, and they haven't really changed that up, unless I'm mistaken. Then in game three, the Bruins had like an answer for it, and it seemed like they were goading St. Louis into doing what they do, and they had an answer for it. What's been the difference the last couple games?
Well, they scored four power plays in that game.
Yeah.
Right, they scored four power play goals. Three of them when it really counted. They had one at garbage time at the end there, but they scored three power play goals in that game, and that changes the way a team plays. You know what I mean?
Is it the penalties? Is it so they're really getting screwed?
Well, they're taking advantage of them too.
Yeah,
you know, taking advantage of them, because the Bruins had chances yesterday in the power play, they didn't score.
Right.
So, you know, 5-on-5, the Bruins need to be better at just at completing at finishing. You know, they had some good looks last night, 5-on-5, especially early in that game, and they weren't able to finish. I think that changes the game. You know, how often have they had the lead here recently? They've been chasing the game a little bit recently. They chased the game in game four. They chased the game last night, obviously. It came out of a scoreless after the first period, and then the early goal by Ryan O'Reilly. So you're not playing with the lead. I think it's a different kind of game. And they had the lead earlier in the series. I understand that. I forget which game it was. It might have been two, where St. Louis came back and won that game. But, you know, the Bruins are generally a good team when they have the lead, and they haven't had it a lot in this series in the losses that they've had.
I wanted to go back to Chara. How did you think he looked last night? And based on how the Bruins played, do you think that Bruce Cassidy will dress seven defensemen on Sunday?
It depends on the availability of Matt Grizzlick. I expect him to go most likely. I mean, we still have 2 days, right? But I think that they'll probably go, if Grizzlick is healthy and ready to go, they might go with 60 and put David Backus back in there for an experience factor. And the fact that, you know, he gets a little, he had some time off now, you know, you're not going, you know, playing every game. You get he's had a pretty good response a lot of times when he's had maybe a couple of days off. And so I'd be surprised if he didn't play David Backus in St. Louis in a deciding game. So, but I think Chara, he certainly wasn't the reason they lost yesterday. I think he had some difficulties, some adjustments to make with that mask. I mean, here's a guy that's 6'9", you know, however tall on skates, and now you're playing with a full mask that, you know, you're not used to playing with. He doesn't have any shield at all that he plays with, and now you're trying to look down, find pucks, and, you know, the communication, I think, was a factor at times there with Charlie McAvoy on a couple of occasions, but just when he was out there with him. So I think that, you know, it was good to see him out there. It's great to see, you know, from a team standpoint and what he means to the team, him being out there. But he had some difficulties. I don't think you can deny that. But, you know, he'll be back in there. And then Grizzlick is kind of the X factor. If Grizzlick's able to play and you think that he's 100%, then I think they might go back to the 60 and 12 forwards.
All right, Bob Beers, you'll hear him on the call Sunday night. As the puck drops later than 8 o'clock, but right around there. Bob, appreciate the time as always.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, we were talking about how small Dale Arnold is, and I said Jaffe's no giant.
And, of course, Jaffe texted you.
Yeah, and Jaffe texted me lies.
And what does it say?
He said, when I had hair, he goes 5'9", 5'10", GFY. Then he says, when I had hair, I was 6'1". Everyone's 6'1". Everyone is so
Jaffe
tall.
Jaffe is not 6 feet tall. No. On his best day,
he's not.
I am not 6 feet tall. I am taller than Billy Jaffe.
I am half a head taller than Billy Jaffe.
I mean, look, he can beat both of us up, but he's not tall. He's not a tall man.
Oh, no, he could easily.
He's a fire hydrant. He's strong. I know he slaps you around on a regular basis. He's not a tall man.
Yeah, he's not a 6'1". Everyone's so tall.
Good God, Billy, please.
Everyone's 6 feet tall. Everyone all over the planet. They're all 6 feet tall. It's like, Billy, listen, you're a big guy. You're a strong guy.
Yeah. You don't get height two. You get those two. Yeah, you get the other two.
Yeah, you get those two.
You have that. You're fabulously handsome. You're wildly successful. You have a musky scent of a stud, but you're not 6 feet.
You've successfully taken on a bear.
Right.
So there you go. All right, we'll take your phone call, 617-779-0985. A egregious, terrible, disgraceful mess of a game last night. If the Bruins lose on Sunday, it will be a series that is forever tarnished by the officiating, and the league will have a problem on its hands. I mean, they really will. This is the last thing.
Well, this is the culmination of a badly refed playoffs.
Yep.
I mean, it's this. Congratulations, you've done it.
Yeah, and if you swallow the whistle, that's one thing. And again, with the trip on Achari. Then call coincidental minors. Just call, say he flopped, but you can't act like it didn't happen. I mean, it happened right there with the world watching. So, I mean, in St. Louis, they're comparing it to the Todd Worrell play in the ninth inning of the deciding game, what would have been the deciding game of the World Series. One of the worst calls in the history of baseball. So even they admitting it. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
For four generations.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Well, Bolzac takes the legs out from under Dolichari, and he turns back and looks back at the referee. Play continues, and then it is the scoring of the goal.
A fortunate bounce for David Perron. This puck goes in, goes off of Torrey Krug. It goes right back to him and then off the pad of Tuukka Rask. And again, the reason that the official did not blow the play dead is because St. Louis had possession of the puck in the offensive zone. So even though Achari was shaken up, the play continued because the Blues had possession, and Achari just barely got to his knees, and the puck ended up in the back of the net.
I think, John and Rich, that I've come up with the ultimate... if you think Achari embellished... Call coincidental minds. You cannot not call anything there. You cannot, even if you think Achari threw himself in the air and knocked himself out of the ice.
Which, just take that part of it, is the most dumb.
Right.
Is the dumbest argument you can make, and you're trying to get people to pay attention to you if you take that slant.
It's nonsense. But, however, if you say I'm a ref and I'm like every other ref in this playoffs, I'm afraid to call anything, which usually is a good thing. You like the tough play. You like them swallowing the whistles. However, when the puck is in an area and the person playing the puck is tripped
from behind,
yeah, one must make a call.
Okay, you know who didn't think it was embellishment? The people from the NHL player safety who made Achari leave the ice and go to the dark room because they thought he might have had a concussion.
But, Rich, you could still make the argument if you wanted to.
Where do they sit?
Hang on. You could still make it's the playoffs, and he really sold it, and he embellished. I don't believe that. You don't believe that. No one believes it. If you do and believe it, you're lying to yourself, and you're trying to be cute. You're either placating an audience or trying to infuriate an audience. But... you have to call something.
No, you're right.
You didn't call coincidental minors.
No, you're
right.
It's
right there, you stupid dummies. And these guys, these officials are so afraid to call anything because they don't want it to affect the game.
They weren't until game four.
Right. And we talked about this with how mentally weak are you? If the coach of St. Louis says we are getting too many penalties called on us, and you immediately, and all evidence points to this, and I guess it's the truth, it makes no sense. You're an adult professional, and the guy, without giving any kind of specifics, just says in general that you're getting a lot of calls called on you. These guys are so petrified to call anything. That's why the fourth line, for all I know, the fourth line guy, I don't even know his name, who hit, what's his face, the head?
Barbashev.
Barbashev. Maybe there's, I haven't heard anything about it, but maybe there's secondary discipline, and then so what? They lose a guy that they don't care about for a game.
No, I've heard nothing about Barbashev or Zach Sanford,
that's the one, the Johansson hit is the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's the bad one, that's
okay,
Barbashev.
So say they do supplemental discipline on him. Okay. Like, what is it? That doesn't affect, what is that going to affect the spread?
Yeah, in this case,
the line?
In this case, it doesn't hurt. I do believe it hurt them in game three, because I think that I think Sundqvist is a great penalty killer.
A major in game two would have been 1,000 times more valuable.
I agree.
Won that game 7-2 in game three. They lost in overtime the game before that.
Well, this is
if you get a 5-minute major, you don't lose that game in overtime.
Well, Fred, I mean, you're exactly right. And it's enough to make, even as I said, Bergeron said something about it yesterday, but Bruce Cassidy was all of us. I mean, it was at the point where he has been nothing but diplomatic when it came to the calls, really throughout the entire postseason, one way or the other. And even after some egregious calls were made against the Bruins, I believe it was in game four, he still held his tongue. And then yesterday, enough was enough, and Bruce Cassidy just went fire and brimstone.
How would you describe the officiating in that game?
Well, I mean, why don't you just ask me, Joe? Ask me, Joe. We've been through this a lot. We're talking about the one call, non-call?
A couple of non-calls, a couple of hits to the head.
Well, those are the hits they want to get out of the game, correct? That's what I hear a lot about. Clearly, they missed a couple tonight. It's a fast game. I sat here 2 days ago or whatever it was. I said I believe these officials are at this level because they've earned the right to be here, and you should be getting the best. But, I mean, the narrative changed after game three. There was a complaint or whatever put forth by the opposition, and it just seems to have changed everything. I mean, the non-call on Achari, their player's on his way to the box. I mean, they're the only – it's right in front of the official. It's a slew foot. Our guy's gone. The spotter took him out of the game for a possible concussion. I mean, it's blatant. It had a big effect in the game. I mean, this has happened. I'm a fan of the game. It's the National Hockey League getting a black eye with their officiating this playoffs. And here's another one that's going to be talked about. I thought it was a great hockey game. That call probably – I mean, there's time, but it really made it difficult for us to get the win tonight. So I'm disappointed. So I guess to answer your original question, it was egregious. But we're moving on. We're getting ready for game six.
And Cassidy was asked about what was said on the bench when all that was done.
What was the feeling on the bench in the moment? What was being said there? Was there anything from the referees?
What was being said was you missed an effing call is what was being said on the bench for obvious reasons. But after that, we had to settle down and play. If you mean by me or the players or...
Yeah, the whole...
I mean, I think, we thought we got screwed, but you got to keep playing. We did. We scored the next goal, gave ourselves a chance to win. You know, we tried to rally around that, but moving forward.
Okay, 2 points. First of all, go watch that play again. Watch it one more time, and you will see when Tyler Bozak does the slew foot and trips him, that as soon as Achari hits the ground, he throws his arms up as if already to protest a call that he knew was coming his way.
And he starts toward the box.
No, yep. He knew. He's going towards the box. He knew. And it was almost like shock when he realized the arm wasn't up on the ref. So he looked around, whoa, and then he continued the play. The other thing is, and this is my favorite sound clip of the morning, as much as I truly loved what Bruce Cassidy said yesterday, and I heard all the other players say what they said, my favorite sound clip of the morning is from Berube. Is him after all the things that he said after game three, where he complained about them getting enough calls and about how they were. As a matter of fact, he said, his quote was, he said here it is. We're the least penalized team in the league in the first three rounds, and now all of a sudden we've taken 17 penalties in one series, so I don't know. I think that we can definitely be more composed after the whistles, but like I said, we're the least penalized team in the league coming into the series, so I don't agree with all the calls. Remember, he said that after game three, in which even Cassidy referenced, changed the entire tone of the series when it came to how the refs were calling the games. Here's Berube last night responding to what Cassidy said.
Bruce Cassidy said that your comments on the officiating changed the narrative of the series, and also said the not calling a penalty on Bozak was an egregious error by the officiating crew. Your thoughts on that?
I don't agree with it, but it doesn't matter. I'm not here to judge your officials and calls that could have been or couldn't have been. They go both ways. There's calls the other way that could have been called, and they weren't. I don't know what to say about that. I really don't want to say anything.
He's the cat who ate the canary, man. Yeah. He's just sitting there. He's yep.
No, specifically, that's what you were there for after game three. No, that's exactly what you
said. Exactly that.
I take back my T-shirt sales of Groovy Berube.
Not so groovy.
Or now I'm just going to make T-shirts that says, get the Bozak. You got the Bozak.
Berube's a booby.
Now we're spitball.
There we go.
Now we're going.
Let's get the T-shirt company
going.
Why
don't you get the Bozak?
That's the other thing, too. So somebody makes a good point. How do you embellish a trip from behind?
I'll stare at you all day, Fred. I'm waiting for it to land.
How do you embellish a trip from behind?
You don't get the Bozak?
I get it. I do. I'm still waiting for it to land, though.
Oh, it landed, baby. Just needed a nice tag, which neither of you are capable of.
Well, then that's on me.
Well, Rich tried with the boobies.
Sorry.
I actually don't get the Bozak. What is that?
Like your Balzac. They get the Bozak. That's it. You don't like 80s hip hop?
Yeah.
It was used quite a bit.
Oh, new edition.
Okay, well, no wonder I don't get
new
it.
New edition?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, any kind of Belle Biv DeVoe references you can
yes,
make?
Yes, that was it. You're Rick Come Easy. It's the next line after that when he says that.
A new edition is 80s hip hop?
They were hip-hop with an R&B tip with a smooth appeal to it.
Yeah.
They were
on the smoothed-out tip.
Smoothed-out tip with an R&B feel.
Stupid.
Can we end it here? That's the truth. How do you embellish a trip from behind?
I don't know.
How do you do
feel
that?
Yourself flying through the air?
You throw yourself backwards.
Ask our guy from 2 to 6. I don't have an answer for you.
I'm not getting into another person's opinion.
By the way, I don't think he said that.
I don't care. I don't want to get into another person's opinion. I have my own opinion.
We should just, you know what we should do? We should have a bird in here and bring in Nick and have him try to like sweep Nick from the legs from behind. And have his, and have his heart explode, and we'll see if he can embellish it on his way down.
We have a good laugh about that.
Let's do some science. Honestly, how do you embellish a trip from behind?
By throwing yourself backwards. You can embellish a trip from behind.
Not when you don't know what's coming.
If you feel the stick on your... Okay, I don't want to have this argument, but it is possible. It didn't happen, but it is possible. You feel the stick on your skate, and you throw yourself backwards. Now, I don't think you try to give yourself a concussion, but nonetheless... I mean, again, even if you're the most cynical person in the world, call coincidental minors. That's what you do. If you think he embellished, but you got to do something. The puck's right there. You're right in the offensive zone. You got to call something.
Okay, so just, and this is from no inside information, we're assuming that Marchand's hurt, Bergeron's hurt. Pasternak is not hurt. I think he's just sloppy because he double-shifted him yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's how he made up for not having Backes in there. So I don't think he's playing hurt. I just think he's been sloppy. So you got to think they're hurt. Krejci seemed to be kind of a little bit better yesterday. I don't know if he's probably banged up.
He was bad yesterday.
But I don't think he's hurt the way that Bergeron and Marchand are.
I don't know. I don't know. But I'll tell you, Pasternak was no Carter yesterday. All right.
What?
Sloppy. Uh-huh. We've been talking about this all day. I'm losing my focus a little bit. Give me a break, Rich. All right. We'll be back. And then at 9 o'clock, we have adult film star, Saugus' own Tyler Faith, talking to Nick out in front of...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Yo, all I need is one mic. All I need is one mic. Yo, all I need is one mic.
98.5 is Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Brady looks super weird. And we were talking about this off air. There's obviously... a little bit of the stuff they put in your face. My wife gets it. The
Botox?
Your wife get the Botox?
No.
She get the Bozak?
She doesn't get the Bozak.
Does your wife get the Botox?
No.
Why don't they get all the broads are getting the Botox.
My wife gets enough shots.
I'm just going to say.
Doesn't mean she shouldn't be concerned about her looks.
For the last 5 years.
It doesn't mean she shouldn't be concerned about her looks.
She's a human pincushion as is. I think.
Oh, yeah.
She'd rather not get poked
anymore.
Well,
and she goes to the cancer place. Tell them to put a little stuff in there.
Sure. She goes to the cancer place.
One in the arm, one in the face.
Botox while you're there.
Yeah, go while you're at it. Give me a little Botox.
One arm, one face.
Well, obviously, Brady's doing something because he looks all weird. But so there was some talk yesterday. There had been controversy surrounding him, Rich. I believe this is what we're talking
about. Yeah, because this was just phenomenal. So he talked for a while and answered a bunch of questions about a lot of different things. But this was the thing I found the most interesting. So over the past couple of days, somebody found out through a filing that Tom Brady's company had tried to trademark the name Tom Terrific, which of course got 6 old Mets fans and old Mets players very angry throw baked beans onto a poster.
You make light, and I don't care, but I've met more than a couple older guys that are Red Sox fans that really were pissed.
No, the backlash was real. And even from like some Patriots fans, they're just like, all right, man, you don't own that name. You know, that's a little cocky.
Plus, it's so douchey. Like, they got Tommy Terrific.
Sure. So I do believe there was backlash. Though the video is fantastic. It's like the best office that never aired.
Yeah, it was the stupid big bean thing, yeah.
But, this is what I think. Me thinks that the backlash turned this into, I've got to somehow figure out an angle where I don't look like the jackass in all of this.
Or, yeah, like I don't look incredibly vain.
Right.
You mean he made a phone call to one of his fleet of PR people?
And maybe that's what happened, but here is how Tom Brady explained why he tried to trademark the term Tom Terrific.
The Tom Seaver people were really agitated this week with the trademark thing. Did you hear about that?
I did. It's unfortunate. I was actually trying to do something because I didn't like the nickname, and I wanted to make sure no one used it because some people wanted to use it. So I was trying to keep people from using it, and then it got spun around to something different than what it was. So good lesson learned, and try to do things a little different in the future.
So you did that for Tom Seaver's memory and not for Tom Brady?
Well, I didn't want people associating me with that because that was something that I didn't want, you know, to have happen. Yeah. So I don't like the nickname. I don't like when people probably give me many nice compliments. Certainly that. It wasn't something I was trying to do out of any disrespect or ill manner or anything like that.
So no plans to use any merchandise or anything?
I hope not.
Okay, first I'll say this. I believe that there could have been a chance that this was part of his company who applied for it, and he had really no idea that name was going out there.
Like, sure.
Okay, I think that's a reality. However, that explanation is pure and complete
utter
bull crap.
That is a man who's not had to balance a checkbook. In the last 20 years.
Someone was going to try to use it, so I wanted to snatch it up before they could. Hang on,
this is a man that doesn't concern himself with business quite often.
Like, explain
this
that
to me. This is a man who works with a guy who sells concussion juice.
Yes, I mean,
that explanation, and again, his company probably does a million things he doesn't know about, and who cares?
And this may be that case, but that explanation...
Just say, forget it. You could have just gone, look, man, I got a business. They wanted they came up with this idea. I didn't know about it.
No disrespect.
And now that I know, I don't want to do it anymore.
Sure.
I told them not to do it.
But I mean, okay, so hang on, let me get this straight. So someone was going to make some sort of merchandise that featured you and said Tom Terrific on it, but you didn't want them to do that, so you thought you'd trademark that.
Yeah.
You see, they also would not be able to, Tom Brady, use your likeness.
Right.
So why would you... I mean, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Rich, yes, you're correct. It makes no sense.
But I do love
it. It's not true.
Well, the best part of it was the self-righteousness that came from a lot of the writers yesterday. It's like, all right, all you people feel pretty bad. Now, he wasn't doing it because for his own good or his own sake.
Yeah.
He was doing it because he didn't want it out there.
If that's the case and writers were writing that, they got to start paying writers more money and get some better people in there.
I mean, that answer was weird. And as I said, there's probably a 98% chance
he had no idea
that was being trademarked.
All he cares about is concussion sauce. He has no idea what's going on with any of that crap. But I mean, no, of course, the explanations, I wonder, because he hasn't like had to exercise his brain, like if that's why he can't get himself
that's
these
part
questions.
Of the TB12 method. You do exercise
well, they
your
have
brain.
Proven that those games don't actually improve your intelligence. You understand that?
Yeah, puzzles involved.
Those brain games, remember when they used to advertise them all the time and notice they're not anymore?
Puzzles for your brain.
Because they are not effective. All right, well, it's about time. There was some backlash from Nick to Rich for not using this. Everyone is madly in love with Saugus' own adult film star, Tyler Faith. According to her Instagram, she has got even larger breast implants now. So we can look forward to that. She is now working exclusively in MILF porn. And I believe she is around my age. From what I see there on the internet, she's attractive. I follow her because there's always a chance we might need Saugus' own adult film star, Tyler Faith, in studio. I have watched her pornography. I give it a thumbs up.
Okay.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, and she did pornography when she was younger. So there's a... you can see the lens of time, and it's been very, very complimentary towards her. It has not hurt her in any way. But now she went from a young siren adult film star.
Very difficult to segue from being a young Sigrun into
Lisa
the MILF.
Lisa Ann, who, to our knowledge, had sex with our friend over here.
Ted Johnson.
Yeah, he has not confirmed that, nor has he denied it.
No, but for those of you who weren't watching on Twitch, he got bright red when we talked to him about it, so.
He did not deny it, but nonetheless. Right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.